listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crossan, General Editor of the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. It's good to be with you on this final session from the study, No Doubt, Six Things We Can Know For Sure. And this session title, which is session six, is Sure of Salvation. This is a wonderful end to a great study. You know, many times believers just don't trust that they're saved. And they base this trust on what they have gone through. They've been burned, they've been hurt, they've been let down. So in light of this experiences, we question our salvation. God says he will save me, but can I really trust that I am saved? Is the question that we ask in our minds. But this is the lesson today. God is like no other. He has proven himself faithful and trustworthy, and we can rest in the assurance that when we trust him, he does save us. So our lesson today is continuing in 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5, verses 11 through 13, and verses 18 through 21.
All right, so our point for today is we can be sure God saves us when we trust in Christ. And so how can we be sure? How can we be sure? What proof do we have that we are saved? One, I believe Jesus is the Christ. Let me read verses 1 through 5 of 1 John 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him. This is how we know we love God's children, when we love God and obey his commands. For this is what the love of God is, to keep his commands. And his commands are not a burden, because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith. Who is the one who conquers the world? But the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So the first thing is, I believe Jesus is the Christ. And so let me just say that lots of times we like to talk about Jesus Christ as if Christ were his last name. Christ is not his last name. Christ is the work he has done. He is the Messiah. It means the anointed one. I believe that Jesus is, here's put this phrase in there, God's only provision for man's salvation. And so that's how this verse starts, this how this section starts and ends. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Verse number five. Who is the one who conquers the world, but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so this is important. So this idea of believing is not just knowing. So it's not just, I know I heard that somewhere. It is not just, giving a head nod to this idea about Jesus, but really believing. And believing, the way that the Bible talks about believing is changing the course of our lives to align with that which I say I profess. And so it is putting all of my faith and trust in this idea that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And a lot of people struggle with this. I can even remember some of the, one in particular, one of the oldest saints. Now, this was a saintly woman, had a missionary mindset, you know, she worked hard in the life of the church, raised her family. But still, you know, for a long time, she would say, I just don't know if I can be sure that I'm saved. And so I took her in a conversation right here to 1 John. And when you get to 1 John 5, you read down it for yourself. You can find 10 reasons why you know, you can know that you have eternal life. John uses that word know, and not question, not wonder, but know. Verse number 2, this is how we know that we love God's children and we love God and obey his commands. So, Christina, what do you think about this belief that Jesus is the Christ?
You know, Mark, there was a time in my life when I was seeking. You know, I had gone to church, but I was still seeking. When I was in college, I had friends that were Muslims, friends that were Catholics, friends that were Jehovah's Witnesses, and I tried every one of them, especially the Muslim, because my best friend, the girl that I ran around with, she was a Muslim, and so I was going to different things with her, but they always seemed to come up short. And I knew it was God working in my life, because even as a little girl, I used to pray. And I know that God had worked in my life to guide me away from those things. So verse 5 is very real to me. Now, who is the one who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And that's where I put my hope and my faith in. Despite all the distractions and temptations around me, you know, I found that Jesus was the real thing. He's the only one that offered eternal life and the way to God.
All right. So as you study this on page 45, don't forget to go down and look at the evidence for Jesus as the Christ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 important scriptures that are pulled out to speak directly to that. And so you'll need to dig into that and talk about that in your class to make sure that they understand that as well.
So, and also, Mark, if I may interrupt you for a minute, on page 45, there's a great testimony about Denise Matthews that talks about her conversion experience and the proof that, you know, when she accepted Christ, the change that came into her life. So that's on page 45 as well.
All right. So our second point is, so one is that I believe that Jesus is the Christ. The second one is that God's word says so. Let's look at verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so there it is. The word of God says so. Sometimes people have said, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But the truth is, it doesn't matter whether you believe it. God said it, and that settles it. That's what it ought to be. And so the fact that the word of God says so, regardless of what we think about it, is sufficient all in itself. The word of God is true. The word of God is trustworthy. The word of God will never fail. The word of God is dependable. The word of God is indestructible. And so we can depend on what the word of God says, and the word of God says so. It says that Jesus is the Christ. And so that's all important. If you can't stand on anything else, you can stand on what the Word of God said. Just remember, like in one of the previous weeks, we talked about that fact, faith, feeling, train. And we said you got to put the facts up front, that our faith fuels the facts. That's the cold car. And that our feelings are like the caboose. The facts are the engine. Our faith is the coal car that fuels the engine. The caboose is a good thing, but it just drags along on the backside. All right? So don't put your faith in your feelings. Put your faith in the facts. God's word says so. What do you think, Christina?
Amen. Eternal life is not based on a feeling, but it's based on what you believe. And these verses, you know, they need to be read over and over and over again so that the words become in our hearts and a part of our personal testimony. There's a lot of truth here. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And you know, if you're not sure that you're saved, then ask yourself, have I honestly committed my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior?
So I can remember the day after I got married, I was asked the question, do you feel married? Well, the truth is, no, I don't feel married. I feel like the same person that I was the day before. But the fact is that by the law, because we went through the process prescribed by the laws of our state, I was indeed married. And the same is true with our relationship with God, that the day after you accept Jesus Christ, you may not feel like you're saved. You may not feel like a Christian, but that doesn't change the fact. The fact is, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's what the scripture says. And so we trust the facts, not our feelings. So, you know, there'll be some days when maybe you in your life, you don't feel like a saved person. Well, that's okay, because the facts don't change. And so trust the facts. The facts don't make it any different, right? So there are a lot more we can say about that, but I'm just going to say trust the facts. Just like in the old Dragnet TV show, he said, just the facts, man.
Just the facts.
So third is my life has changed. So how do I know? How can I know? One, I believe Jesus is the Christ. Two, I can know because the Word of God says so. But third, and all three of these have to be together. So you can't really take any one of these by themselves. The third is my life has changed. My life has changed. So it's not just pick one, it's all three. So let me read verses 18 through 21. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one, that is his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. And so there's the end of the matter. Ultimately, it says, my life has changed. Everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him. And so this doesn't imply that if once you get saved, you never sin again. And that if you do sin, then you're not a child of God. Don't read that into this. What this says is that the one who is born of God does not continually practice sin. They don't delight in sin. They strive to live a sinless life. That's what it's talking about. And it says that, and we can't do that by ourselves. We have to be kept by the keeper, huh? The one who is born of God keeps him. And so we are saved by grace, and we must also be kept by grace. And so the point is that once, if I am truly saved, there ought to be some things changing in my life, right? I ought to be able to look back on my life 6 months, you know, a year, 6 years backwards, and identify the fact that some things have changed in my life. Maybe I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm clearly not what I used to be. God is working the work of, here's a big word for you, sanctification in our lives. Sanctification is the process by which God makes us holy, huh? He's in the process of making us into what he wants us to be. So everything doesn't change the day I believe Jesus is the Christ. But as I continually walk with him in my life, I become more and more like him as the days go by. My life has changed. I can remember being in church, and there was a disagreement between one of our deacons and one of the older ladies in the church. And the older lady, trying to pull rank on the deacon, said, look, I've been here 50 years and my life and I haven't changed a bit. And so I listened to that and I said, what a shame, what a shame, what a shame. Because the truth is, we all ought to be changing a little bit each day, getting closer to God and more like Jesus. What are you thinking, Christina?
Well, I'm thinking about the song that we used to sing, things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore, since the Lord has set me free. And so that's what we're talking about. You know, we're set free from the wrath of God, from the wages of sin, and our life reflects that. And as Mark was saying, you know, even if we sin, we can ask God to forgive us. That's what we've learned in previous lessons in this unit, that we are sure of forgiveness. So we're free to go to God to forgive us. And that's in 1 John 1:9. And then once we receive that forgiveness, we still have, we have our fellowship with God renewed. So we learned that in sure of a relationship. We're free to continue to serve God in ministry and to walk with him. So God, through the Holy Spirit, keeps us safe from these sins and from the attacks of the enemy. We have victory. So what I'm saying here is that all the lessons that we've learned in this study just boils down to what we're talking about here in 1 John 5. And the evidence, of course, is that our life will have changed.
So again, this is not the idea that once we get saved, we are we reach sinless perfection. We are not perfect. God is in the process of perfecting us. But look at verse number 21. It is a reminder that even the faithful have to be careful not to be tempted and drawn away. So his final word after all of this is, little children, guard yourself from idols. So he's just reminding us, look, this is a challenge and a struggle for every single one of us every day. And so after he tells us 10 times how we can know we have eternal life, he still puts a little reminder at the end and closes out this entire letter. Guard yourself from idols. So there's always the temptation to be less than what God wants us to be. All right. So what a great series of lessons, and what a great ending this is as we think about six things we can know for sure and not doubt and not give in to doubt. This is a great lesson and a great series of lessons. I hope that you have enjoyed and been blessed. I'm sure some have been strengthened and encouraged by these lessons to get rid of doubt and skepticism in each one of our lives. And so if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a few minutes, because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want to remind you to get your copy of the You Bible Study material. You can find it at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our urban multicultural Bible study material. It is for us and by us. It comes with digital availability, a great leaders pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Christina, give us our teaching tip for today.
So this is a teaching tip about evaluating the session. So what you can do is draft an evaluation so that learners can get feedback about the lesson. You know, how effective was it in their life? How effective was the class time? Include questions about the study and submit responses. Submit what you gather to me, because I would like to understand how I can develop more effective sessions. So my email address is christina.zimmerman@lifeway.com.
All right, so there we are. What a great lesson and great series of lessons. I'm sure that your class has been and will be blessed by them. Friend, join us again for another You Urban Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.